there are three passages of Scripture. Neither one of them is going to be the main text. Okay? But I want you aware of them. The first one is found in Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Titus 1:1, it just simply says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. The next one is in James 1, verse 1. Oh, junior church, yes, please. Junior church, you can go to the back now. James 1:1, it says there, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. And the last one is found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And it says there, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Now the question I have for you, I read all three of them. What was the common denominator in all three? All right, good. You picked up on that. The word servant. Our message today, our thought process today is going to be focused on around being a servant. You notice that word there. Many people serve. I date myself when I remember servants on some of the shows on TV. Does anybody remember Mr. French? Ah, okay. The older people do. All right. Does anybody remember Hazel? All right. Okay. Again, we're going back to the black and white era. Okay, on that, as far as the TV on television shows. And there were a number of others that were done that you saw a servant in the household taking care of people or doing things. A servant is someone who understands the will of the person who has employed them and then goes about meeting that will. They understand that. That's what a servant is. That's what we expect them to do. None of us would hire a servant and then just let them just do their own thing and not do anything we want done. How long would we keep them in employ? It's called a teenager. Right? Have you noticed they can go from, can I help you, Grandpa? Can I help you, Daddy? Can I help you, Mom? Can I help you, Grandma? They go from that age to, are you going to get up and help me at all? Now, none of you who are adults now went through that stage. It's only the teenagers that are coming up behind you, right? I mean, they can sit there and I walked in the other day after cutting grass a little bit outside. Grandma had been outside doing something. Anyway, I walked in, there was a teenager there, and I said, are you going to come out and help at all? And he kind of shrugged a little bit, and I got some work to do on the computer, blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, he's not employed. I guess if I paid him, then he'd have jumped up and did it. But I'm just giving him food, clothing, and shelter. So it's not like I'm stepping out of my way in it. Anyway. So, we understand what a servant is. Now, just like we might be a little bit with a teenager, we might say, oh, come on. God may do the same thing with us, don't you think? We're servants, and sometimes we're not doing what He wants us to do. We don't understand His will. We're not applying His will to our life. So He may have the same attitude that some of us have in regards to someone not doing their job or not helping out in some way. But we've been called to be servants of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, do you notice in those three texts that I read, the one in Titus was written by Paul. It's written to a man who's in the ministry. He's working on the island of Crete. It's a tough environment. And he's working in that environment there. And he tells him right off the bat that I am a servant of God, right? You saw that right off the bat. I'm a servant. He didn't employ his apostleship right at the start. He just humbly admitted right up front that he is a servant. That's what he wants to be known as. Now, you and I, we could have, you know, if I'm writing it and I want to use a title, let's say you were in the military, you might use your rank. Let's say you're a vice president or a president of a company. You might use your title there as well. You may do something in some way to emphasize that I have some sort of prestige in life. But you notice what Paul chose to do first there was to be an apostle. Take a look at James. The James passage. Again, James 1:1 talks about he is a servant. Do you know who James was? Now, don't get mixed up with James, the brother of John. And there's a couple other Jameses. Who is this James? Who said that? He's Jesus Christ's brother. Jesus had four brothers. And he had at least two sisters. But we got the four brothers by name in the Bible. I might be in tendency... You know, who do you know? When a lot of times when Carol would get introduced at the Bible college, and then for some reason I would get introduced, I would just simply say, well, I'm the wife of Carol Stewart. Because they didn't know me from anybody. I got to use something that they would say. Hey, that's a good thing to be. You know? So you use a title sometimes because you want to be known. You want to be recognized. Again, these two men wanted to be known as what? Servants. And James is not saying, hey, I am the brother of Jesus, the Messiah, the one who was crucified for your sins, the Son of God, the one who's sitting at the right hand of God. I am His brother. Instead, what does he go with? I'm a servant. Mary, in Luke, she's been told how the birth is going to take place of Jesus. It's overwhelming. She's a young woman. And what does she say to God when it's all done to the angel? I am the Lord's servant. She didn't sit back and say, I'm the mother of God's Son. I am the mother. Instead, I am the Lord's servant. Just trying to emphasize that God has not called us to power positions in the church, prestige positions in the church. He's not called us to lord it over anybody else like somebody else would. What has He called us to be? Servants. Now, we're disciples, but we're called to be the servants. Servants. And we're called to be humble servants. Again, I've emphasized that with these three already. If you were to look at the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, in particular verses 6 to 8, if you take a look at that Philippian letter, it talks about the fact that Jesus was up here in heaven, gave up all the glory of heaven, all the adoration of heaven, all the angels all day long praising His name. He gave all of that up to put on earthly form, to come down here in the form of a servant, to be born in a lowly manger, to be raised by humble parents who didn't have a whole lot, and then finally, at age 30, start out into His ministry, which He knew ahead of time would lead to His death. He didn't accumulate anything here on earth. He didn't seek power, fame, or anything. He just served God. It says there in that Philippian passage, He became a servant. He humbled Himself and became a servant and died on the cross for us. So we need to understand, if you're going to be a servant of God, if you haven't got it already through your head, and if I haven't already got it through my head, God's going to emphasize it one more time. What kind of servant are we going to be? A humble servant. And we have to remember that He is the Master. I enjoy being a servant of Jesus Christ, but sometimes I promote Him to servant. And I want to take His place and be promoted to Master. Jesus, it's a lousy day out here. I need a better day. Give me one. Jesus, I'm hungry. Would you provide me something to eat? Jesus, I'm having trouble in a relationship situation. Would you straighten it out? Do you see what I'm saying here? And you can come up with anything that you want. I can remember going through Bible college. People would not study for tests. They not study. Anybody here never studied for a test, and then you just pray that somehow God will miraculously give you the answers? You know, sleep on your textbook the night before, hoping osmosis will bring it through. A lot of us just ask God for things instead of realizing we've been called to be His servants. We're supposed to know what His will is and go out and do it. Very seldom will you ever find in a situation where the servant of a house tells the master, hey, you provide this for me, you take care of me this. Now, we got a wonderful master, don't we? He sees what I need before I even ask Him. He provides for me daily. Food, clothing, and shelter. Paul says he's learned to be content in all situations. Whether I got a lot, whether I got a little, I don't care. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm happy all day long. So we've been called to be humble. In John 13, verse 16, John 13, verse 16, this is the situation where Jesus has just finished washing the feet, and he tells them in verse 16, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. And a lot of times in the church, people seem to want to be greater than their master. They, instead of being servants, they want to be the one who's in charge. They tell people, well, as far as I'm concerned at church, if they don't do it my way, if they don't like the way I do something or whatever, then that's just the way it's going to be. You know, it's got to be my way or the highway type thing. Instead, what does a servant do? Servant turns to the master and says, I don't know what to do in this situation. It didn't go the way I thought. How do you want me to handle it? Of course, you're going to hear the word repentance and forgiveness and all that type of stuff coming in your brain because that's what the Bible teaches you, right? I mean, if anybody had a right to be upset about anybody in life, it's a man hanging on a cross. We're looking down and everybody's yelling insults at him, throwing probably rocks at him if they could, spitting at him whenever they could, slapping him upside the head silly if they could. And he looks down from him. What does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't let Satan win this battle. Please help them to forgive. We got to learn to forgive. Anybody here hold grudges? Anybody here got... My wife accuses me of having the memory of an elephant I never forget. You know, something will happen. I'll say, well, you remember when you did this? And she'll say, there goes that elephant in you again. So, but anybody here hold grudges? I know I've held them over the years. Okay, honest, a couple of honest people here. Everybody's held something, haven't you? Where you're not happy, you're not pleased, whatever. And when the time comes, you either want to get even or you want to tell somebody about it. I've been knocked down quite a few times, and a number of times Satan won out in that battle. But we're supposed to be humble servants who listens to the master, and the master says, forgive them. Forgive them. Don't hold anything against anybody. Forgive them. We've been called to let the master be the master and for us to be the humble servants. Now, what kind of service is expected from us? You could probably come up with a number of adjectives or words that describe it. The word I chose is that faithful service is expected. Look at Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25. You got several parables there, but one in particular starts off in verse 14. Matthew 25, 14. The parable of the talents. In that parable of the talents, you have three guys. Three servants. The master says, I got to go away for a while. Don't know how long I'm going to be gone. I got an enterprise. I got a business here that still needs to be run. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, okay? But I got to get this job done. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you so much of the business. I'm going to give you so much of the business. I'm going to give you so much of the business. And I'm going to go away. And I'll be back someday. You don't know what day I'm coming. You don't know what hour of the day. You don't know when, but just, I'll come back. Well, you know the story. Two of them get out there and they go to work. They invest in the kingdom. They get everything up and running. They make one, both of them doubled their amounts. But this one guy decided, my master's kind of a hard man. Plus, I'm a lazy dude. So, I'm not going to do anything with it. But I'm not going to lose it either. So, I'm just going to bury it in the ground. And then when he comes back, what he gave me, exactly what he gave me, I can exactly give it back to him. Well, as the story goes on, the first one comes in for an accounting. When the master does show up, the accounting is, hey, you did a great job. You're just fantastic with what you did with the kingdom. Come on in and enter in the joy of your rest and just be happy. The second guy, he did the same thing, got the same response. The master was pleased. What did the third guy's response come out as? You know, you didn't do anything with it. You weren't faithful with what I gave you. So, he took it away from him, gave it to the others, threw him out. So, what do we understand is expected of us? Service. Faithful service. So, what has God invested in you? What has he given you? Don't think of talent like I can sing or I can teach, whatever. Think beyond that. What has he invested in you? What has he placed inside of us? What has he given us? What is the fruit of the Spirit, for example? There's a good place to start. Nobody knows the first one? Love. Right? Fruit of the Spirit is love. And then you go down the list, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, all of them mentioned there. I think there's nine of them mentioned. He's invested all that in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That means the Spirit is trying to produce this fruit within you. How much of this fruit can be produced? If you read the passage real carefully, it tells you, against such things there is no law. A law limits things. You can have as much love, as much patience, as much goodness, as much kindness, self-control. I mean, you can go down the list. You can have as much of that as you want. But you're expected to do what with it? Share it. Invest it in others. So the kingdom grows. It takes a lot of love sometimes to love some people, doesn't it? You know, taking you 33 years to kind of get to like me. So, it takes a lot of love sometimes. It takes a lot of patience. A huge amount of patience. Every time I want an exercise in patience, just give me a baby that needs a diaper changed. Or is hungry and I got to get a bottle warmed up or whatever you do to them anymore. You know, I got to, you know, try to make them happy. And then about the time you get everything squared away, what do? They soil the diaper again. They spit the stuff up. You got to wipe him. You got to get another. What does it require? Patience. Do we lose our patience at times? Yes. So against such things, there's no law against it. So he says here, we are to be faithful servants. And he gives us this parable as a great example of how we need to be investing in the kingdom all the time. Now, you can read a lot more stuff than that, but just understand that's what he's saying. What is the greatest example to you of Jesus being a servant, setting the example for us, his fellow servants? What is the greatest example that you can think of? Got washing feet and dying on the cross. Both of them just fantastic examples. When he came here, he knew God's will was for him to die on the cross. And the Bible says at one place, he set his face. He focused on Jerusalem. Because he knew that's where he was going and have to die. He set his face. Nothing was going to deter him. And when he got there, everything went as planned, according to God's plan, and he died on the cross for us. And also the washing of feet. That's the one I run to the fastest sometimes. I cannot imagine this. Those of you who've been in the military or you've been part of a big organization, could you imagine... Well, could you imagine the President of the United States washing your feet? Could you imagine the President of a company, Chief Executive Officer of a company, washing your feet? Could you imagine in the military, 4 stars up on the shoulder, Admiral or General, whatever you want to use, 4 stars up on the shoulder, and he reaches down and to the E1 private and washes feet? Can you imagine that? I can't. Can't imagine that. And I have someone who is greater than any of those examples. He is the Son of Almighty God, the Lord Himself, the Creator of the universe, sustainer of all life. And He washed the feet of the disciples in that upper room. And why did He do it? Well, their feet needed washing. And they wouldn't do it for each other. So He showed them an example of humility and service. To me, that's a great example. So now, as I wrap this up a little bit, I want to say, how do we serve? How do we go about being a servant? What do we do? If it's knowing the Master's will and setting out to do it, then the first thing I need to do is to know the Master's will. And the first thing is a will for me to be a servant. The will is for me to share His word with others. The will is for me to reach out to others and minister. If somebody's in prison, what do I do? If I can do something to help, what should I do? If somebody's naked, what should I do? If they're hungry, if they're thirsty, if they're lonely, if the world hates them, what should I do? If His church needs something, and I have the ability to meet that need in some way or another. What should I do for my master? What should I do for my fellow brothers and sisters who are going through any challenging and difficult time, and I have the ability to do something? What should I do? If I'm the Lord's servant, I mean, I would really love for Jesus to handle these problems directly himself. You know, hey God, so-and-so over there has got no money. They are starving. Would you please take care of them? I pray. And then I go do my thing. Lord, the church keeps... I mean, they need a teacher for young people. I mean, they got these 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, and every week they're begging for a teacher. They're begging for a teacher. Lord, would you please raise up a teacher and put somebody in that classroom, because I'm getting sick every Sunday hearing the announcement. What should I do? Lord, the elders of a church are good men. They're trying their best. But sooner or later, we're going to have to get a couple more. What should I do? Well, Lord, you raise up somebody, please, but just make sure it's not me today. Make sure it's not going to be me the one's raised up. Get somebody else. Mission field. What should we do? There's somebody over there dying without the gospel. Or they got a half-truth gospel from some group that doesn't know what the Bible actually says. What should I do? Well, Lord, you better send somebody over there, because I'm not going. But raise somebody up. What should I do? I don't have the answers for you, and I don't have the answers for me. I answered the call to go into the ministry. I'm not sure that I shouldn't answer some other calls along the years to do some other things. So I have to assess myself and ask what I've done. When somebody's in the hospital, should I have gone? Should I have been there more? Did I not go at all? Would they understand? Did I fail? Those type of things. I have to ask my Lord all the time, what did you want me to do in that situation? How did you want me to respond? Let's make sure we are servants of Jesus Christ. What are we called to be? Servants. Servants, the disciples of Jesus Christ who are serving. And who are we called to serve? Overall, the Master. And then He directs us how He wants us to do it. I need you to teach this class. I need you to sing in the choir. I need you to be part of the cleaning team. I need you to go on the foreign field. I need you to raise up somebody here that's going to be a preacher over there. I need you to be doing this and this. I need you to reach across the street where your neighbor just lost a loved one, and I want you to get a cake over to them. I want you to go over and knock on their door and let them know their love. I want you. What was the Master wanting you to do? Think about it. Let's be challenged, because we've been all called to be a servant, whether we're Paul an apostle, or James, the brother of Jesus, or whether we're Mary, the mother of the Son of God. We've all been called to wrap the towel around our waist and to serve. Well, if you're not sure of the plan of salvation, you got to believe Jesus is the Christ. That's what they taught. Those who believed, accepted the message, and they asked what they should do, they were told, repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Repent of the life you've lived outside of Christ, outside of God. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. He'll meet you in the watery grave there. He'll provide you the forgiveness of sins that you seek. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. Your name will be written down forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make that decision today. If you're already an immersed believer, and many of you are, you already made that decision. You already got immersed into Christ. And you've somehow slid back into some sort of sinful state, repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Recognize your sin. Don't rationalize it. Don't explain it away. Say, God, I am a sinner. Be like tax collector in the temple. God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful, please. God will do that. If you need our prayer support, come, we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're already an immersed believer, but for some reason you haven't placed your fellowship yet, place your fellowship. Join with us. For the rest of us, let's get to the mission. Let's get the work done. We're here to get equipped so we can go out and get the job done for Jesus Christ. Now, if I haven't answered all your questions and you want to talk afterwards, you want to discuss things, that's fine. I'll be glad to talk with you. Don't feel the pressure. You have to come up here right now. But do think about what God wants you to do and make that decision appropriately.